Okay, we are on Sanhedrin, Gimel Amud Aleph, 3a. Just to recap where we're up at this point. Remember, the Mishnah said that monetary cases need three judges. Cases of theft and bodily damage need three judges. The Gemara asked, why do you have to repeat that idea? We said there is to make a distinction between three judges, between monetary cases that are theft and bodily injury require three judges who have smicha, who have the ordination, and the other case of loans do not need the ordination of the, and that's why it makes a difference. One says monetary issues and specifically bodily injury and theft needs three ordained judges, while the other one needs three but not ordained judges. And we said, well, wait a minute, but we're learning it from the same psukim. Remember, we said that the topic of the three judges applies also to the area of loans. We said, right, biblically you might need three judges with smicha, but what was the problem? If we're going to require three judges with smicha, it will close the door on people from borrowing. Just like we said, in regular cases, you need very thorough investigation of the witnesses, which we discarded in cases of loans, because if you have to have very thorough investigation of witnesses, people will refuse to lend. Same thing over here, and that's what we ended off here. Let's just end that last point. Where's the similarly? I just saw it before. Well, anyway, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was there.
Number 5 is good. With the requirement.
Were this requirement not waived, the potential lender would be reluctant to lend his money for fear they would have to not be able to find ordained judges to adjudicate the case in the event that the borrower fails to pay. So therefore, we say that issue. But now we got another problem. Still not out of the woods yet. Still another issue to deal with. Even with this answer. Elameata, but if that's the case, that non-ordained judges are permitted to take cases of loans, if that's the case, there's another whole other issue we're going to discuss now. What if a judge makes a mistake? He makes a ruling. It's not limited to FBI directors. There's all kinds of people who can make mistakes. But what if a judge makes a mistake and he now wrongfully said someone has to pay something, and then later on we find it's a mistake, do we tell that the judge has to make the reciprocity and pay the what was incorrectly done, or not? We're going to discuss in a minute. Let's take a look at this important footnote. The Gemara later on states that an ordained judge who errs in his verdict is exempt from paying damages if he makes a mistake in his judgment, whereas a non-expert judge must pay for damages that result from his erroneous ruling. That's what we learn later on. Now, the reason for this distinction is apparently that an expert judge rules by official sanction, but not the non-expert judge. In other words, when we assume that someone has smicha, there's a deeper concept here. That is the law. You know, it's like lahavdol. An umpire, a referee in sports, what if they make the wrong judgment before camera replays?
Yeah.
You know, he makes the judge. He says, you know, it was a, whatever, it was a foul ball.
Yeah.
Well, that's not such an important thing. It was out. The guy was out. Right? He was tagged out. It was close. Yeah. At the plate, the winning run,
yeah.
Right? The tying run, out, right? So you have to, his ruling stands, even though the next day, they'll have a film and show he blew the call, it stays. Why? Because you can't have hefkerness. If every call is questioned, you know, then you can have no law, no judge. You can imagine every time, that's like when the kids play. When you remember when you were little, you played sports.
Rules
and everybody said, you cheated,
yes,
cheated. It's not true, you cheated, I'm quitting, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Right? you know, they're going to tell you the Black Lives Matter at the plate too, you know, and also it's going to be a, no, it's certain things, you know, forget it, okay. And there have been very, historically, some major championships won or lost because a referee made the wrong play. That's, so they now say that's part of the game. You know, just like if a good player gets injured, that's part of the game. Referees make bad calls. It's part of the game. So I'm saying similarly, you can't have it when a judge makes a ruling that we're going to change his ruling. It's not, you know, that he made a mistake. That's an expert judge. Expert judge. He did his best. He's not like, so he carries a certain weight with him. And then, of course, we always say there's a philosophical understanding behind it as well. Because remember, it said three times. Why do you need three judges? Because it says the word Elohim three times. And we know that Hashem really comes down to be part of, his presence comes down to a court that's judging. Which means to say, if you really think about it, who should be judging everybody? Hashem should be the one judging. Who am I, a human being, to judge somebody else? I'm perfect? Hashem's the only one who's perfect. What should Hashem say? Listen, I can't be judging everything here. It's not going to work. You know, if I'm always coming down from Shemayim, it's not going to work. I need human beings to assume, quote unquote, my shlichus for me. But I'll come down and I'll help you out. My divine presence will be there. I'll give you siyata deshmaya. I'll give you divine assistance. So divine assistance doesn't go for any guy who says I'm a judge. If a guy's got smicha, coming all the way back from Moshe Rabbeinu, who got the Torah from Hashem, that smicha carries not just authority, but it carries the divine authority who's with you. And quite often, sometimes a mistake in law is what should happen. That's a very important philosophical point, which means to say, and there's many cases like this, you know, in case of a Gilgul, a transmigrated soul, sometimes somebody steals money from somebody in one lifetime and never paid him back. So Hashem arranges that their souls come back in a later life, and this time the other guy, whatever, steals from him, and that's sort of like the payback, and when he goes to court, the judge is misled. The judge tried his best, but guess what? He made a mistake. Hashem made him make a mistake. Hashem made that the judge should rule wrongly so that the final payback should happen. So that's a deeper understanding. We that's the whole idea of the false witnesses. If, let's say, two witnesses say the guy did a capital crime and you kill the guy, and then after he's killed, two other people come in and say, you know, those witnesses were liars. They couldn't have been with us. We don't do anything. If Hashem wanted that guy not to die, he would have made sure that the people would have come earlier. Okay, we don't use that as an excuse for poor judgmentship. But if the judges are a good, God-fearing judge, tries his best. He's trying it. He asked all that. But sometimes you can be fooled. Sometimes you can make a mistake. Mistake in judgment. So therefore, we say they don't have to pay back. But that's only the Asmicha. The Asmicha, we assume he's totally filling the role of HaKadosh Baruch over here. But if, as Stena Gemara, non-ordained judges indeed adjudicate loan disputes for rabbinic sanction, they too should be exempt from paying damage to the heir. In such cases, that's what they're asking.
Yeah,
right? But that's not the halacha. That's what's saying. Suggesting he should. Well, that's the halacha. Remember, the halacha is only when an expert makes a mistake, he doesn't pay back. A non-expert should pay back. So now the Gemara is asking, if we're going to be learning the loans also, the fact you need three judges, we're learning, remember it said Eruv Parshios, the two sections are combined. Remember it said Elohim three times by a guardian. We say, and those laws apply also to loans. And the only reason we said they don't have to be experts is because you won't be lending people.
Right.
So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, then let's go with the biblical law as well, that if an expert judge makes a mistake, he doesn't have to pay back. So let's say the same thing with a non-expert judge,
right?
Should not have to pay back.
Right.
Why are they asking it? Because we're comparing it one to the other. Loans to, what do you call it, guardians, right? Remember, it said you need three judges by guardians. The question is, did it apply in the case, all the things? We said it applies in the case of loans too. And that's why biblically you would have needed three judges, but rabbinically we say, no, you can buy without smicha. But they're saying at least it would be the same thing. If it makes a mistake, you shouldn't have to pay back, because that should be the same thing like an expert judge. So what's going to be the Gemara's answer? Gemara's answer is going to be the same answer. Kol shekein atanot al delos b'filat lovely. Then you're surely going to have people not pay back, not lend out people. Because what happens if a judge makes a mistake and says he doesn't have to pay back? A guy's gonna want to borrow money. Oh no, I'm not lending you. My friend yesterday lent somebody money, and when the judge made a mistake, he didn't have to pay back. So then the guys aren't gonna lend. So that's the same thing. They'll be concerned that the non-ordained judge will err in favor of the borrower, and they'll be forced to absorb the loss. Now he's gonna tell you the rationale. Okay, so that's why that doesn't work.
Judges would be afraid to judge as well, the non-ordained judges. Because they become liable when they make a mistake. So why should they judge? They'll say, sorry, I don't want to judge anymore. The same thing like with the borrower.
All right.
Does anyone want to judge?
Yeah, why should I judge?
Case of borrowing, there's only one error he could make.
Yeah, but if you have to pay for the damages, then why should I judge?
Because it's a mitzvah to help people out.
So you say it's about the loans.
It must be covered.
The lender should lend regardless.
Okay, when you lend, there's a greater chance you're going to end up not getting paid back if the system is...
So when you judge, there's a chance you'll judge everyone.
That's more in your hands. When you're lending money, it's not in my hands to get it back. But if I'm judging a case, if you judge it correctly, you won't have to pay back. Let's see what he says. The rationale for absolving non-ordained judges from liability in loan disputes would be that they judge such disputes by rabbinic sanction. But that very sanction results from the concern that lenders not be inhibited from lending. Certainly then, that sanction was never intended to absolve non-ordained judges from liability, for to do so would undermine the very reasons for their being sanctioned in the first place. Okay, in other words, you're saying we're trying to absolve the non-ordained from liability so that they would dispute it, right? You'd want to think, okay, we're going to absolve them, so then they'll want to dispute it. They'll want to do it. Yeah, but if that's going to happen, then no one's going to lend it anyway, because if he doesn't have to pay the mistake, then he's not going to want such a judge. So that's why we assume that the judge, the assumption is we're more assuming that the judge is willing to take it on than the lender not willing to lend. Okay, that's what he's saying. All right, so now, therefore we're saying still three judges, non-ordained judges, and if there's a mistake, they have to pay back. Yeah, you always will find a tzaddik who'll do it. The judges, it's more likely you'll find a judge who's willing to do that than a person who's going to loan with a higher risk of not getting it back. You assume the judge is a little bit more of a spiritual guy. And you don't pick any local yokel to be a judge. It's somebody who's still a scholar, right? You have to pick a guy who knows a little bit of halacha. You can't just pick anybody to be a judge. So that kind of guy will be more amenable to help out and assume the risk.
If the judgment is going to be disputed and has to pay, why should he bother judging?
Because it's a myth. It's a myth. There is a myth of the Torah Yes, but where is the greater risk? Think about it. Where is the greater risk of you not getting paid back your money or of you making a mistake in judgment having to pay back?
Lending the money.
So and more than that, you're right, they're both a mitzvah, but again, not only is the mistake, but also lending money, you don't have to be a scholar to do that. That means you're not necessarily such a God-fearing person. And not such a God-fearing person will be more reluctant to do something who'll lose money. The judge, by definition, has to be a more God-fearing person, and will be, in other words, you have like this. A lot of times we have a mitzvah versus a fear. Sometimes we don't do mitzvahs? Because we're afraid it'll have negative consequences if I do a mitzvah. In the old days, You have a mitzvah to keep Shabbos. Yeah, but I get fired. I won't have a job. So people didn't keep Shabbos in those days because they're afraid they're not going to have a parnas. There's a fear factor to knock out the doing of a mitzvah. So you have two mitzvahs here. You have a mitzvah to lend money and a mitzvah to adjudicate cases. That's a mitzvah too. So where is there the greater fear that will negate the mitzvah? Will be on behalf of the lenders. You're right. You're never going to have a perfect system here. So what is the best system? All right? If you're going to tell judges that they're going to, that they don't have to pay back, then the guy's going to say, I'm still not going to lend. At the end of the day, the balabatim are the most fearful one of losing their money. Right? They don't want to lend if it's going to be a hassle.
They don't know what the judgment is going to be.
Well, if I'm lending you money, let's go back over all the things we've been trying to lend. To lend you the money, now remember, when you lend money to people, not everybody's in a hurry to pay back. You got to know, borrowers, as much as the lender's reluctant to lend, the borrower is even more reluctant to pay back. Not because he's a bad guy, because he's short on money. So you got to remember, the borrowers are very, very, people are very quick to ask to lend money, lend me money, to borrow money. I want to borrow money. Paying back is a long story. And people who lend know it's a long story. So you got to make sure at least the excuse is out of the way. Now remember, if you needed three ordained judges, the guy says, okay, you want to take me to court? Take me to where three ordained judges. The nearest ordained judge is 300 miles away. Zayge benched. You're going to miss a week of work in those days to go by camel. It's not worth it. So we got, okay, you don't need ordained judges. Okay, if you're going to say ordained judges, yeah, but if he makes a mistake, what do we say? If he makes a mistake, he doesn't have to pay, then the guy's going to say, well, he's hope we'll make a mistake. The guy's not going to want to lend either. It's another possibility for him not to get his money back. So we got to enable to make it easier for the lenders as a group. On top of all that, you can still not get paid back. The guy could just say, I don't have the money.
That's right.
But quite often they have the money, but you need some enforcement. So at least on the enforcement side, we can't create barriers. So make it easy to find a judge, and when the judge rules, and if the judge makes a mistake, he can still get his money back. And that, we have to make it easier for him. And the judge will, it's easier to find a judge who's willing to adjudicate a case, even though it might risk losing money, than a person to lend money if he has a great chance of losing the money.
Judge is compensated for doing this?
That doesn't have to be. The judges have to get paid.
Case by case, or just by...
Yeah, you get paid, unless the guy wants to do it for nothing. If you go to the Beis Din here, you have to pay them it's not a lot of money, but there's court costs.
Yeah.
You never pay them for what their time is worth, but if there's never a fee, if also there's never a fee, a person always goes to court.
What?
If there's never a fee, you'll always want to take things to court.
Oh, I see.
So why not? You know,
yeah.
Okay, today, you think going to court is free? It's our tax dollars is paying for it, right? Our tax dollars pay. We don't have any system where our tax dollars pay for the dayanim. Our tax dollars pay for kohens, levies. Our tax dollars don't pay for, you don't have truma meiser to go to a judge.
Yeah.
So again, you have to pay, you know. But it's going to be, okay, anyway, let's go. So now we're at this point. So we still have this distinction. So it comes out, in a case of theft and bodily injury, you need three ordained judges, and if they make mistakes, they don't have to pay back. In the case of lending, you do not need three ordained judges, and if they make a mistake, they have to pay back. That's the law. Fine. Gemara says, wait a minute. So let's go back and see the wording of the Mishnah now. Let's see if everything we've now said fits into the wording of the Mishnah. According to us, it's saying there's a difference between theft and bodily injury versus loans. One needs ordained judges, one doesn't. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara asks a straight-off question. Iachi, if that's the case, that three judges are required for loan cases, and it's only the ordination requirement that's waived, right? So, Tarti Ketani, Rav Abbo, could have explained simply that the Mishnah is stating two independent cases. Remember, what did Rabbi Bo originally say? What was his original answer? Why does it say monetary cases three, theft and personal injury.
Three.
Why do you say that? No, originally, he would go back to the original answer. He said, when it says monetary cases, which monetary cases is it? It is the cases of theft and bodily injury. That's how he learned it. And we said, and then it comes to exclude loans, which is not. But now that we've come to the case where the exclusion is a very small exclusion, it's not like we originally thought that you didn't need three judges. When we first learned it on Friday, we thought, well, it's this that needs three judges to the exclusion of loans. Well, it's not to the exclusion of loans to need three judges. You need three judges. The only exclusion is ordained. Thursday, okay. So it's only for the ordained part. So if that's the case, what really happened? He could have simply answered like this: Tartek Tani. The Mishnah is stating two independent cases, and we could have learned the Mishnah like this: Dine Mumminus Bishlosha Hedyotos. Why don't you learn like this? Monetary cases need three because that's three not ordained judges because we're speaking of cases of loans. And Gzelus v'chavolos, and theft and injury, bishloshim mumchum. The next clause is three ordained judges. It could have. Why didn't you explain it like that?
Right.
And that's the question. Look at the notes. The Gemara had originally questioned why the Mishnah divides its discussion of financial cases into two clauses. First clause being monetary cases are adjudicated by a court of three. Second clause, thefts and bodily injuries are adjudicated by the court of three. Now, if Rav Avoh is correct in his assertion that loan, the way we've developed the whole thing now, that loan cases require three judges, but they need not be ordained, the resolution to the Gemara's question would be simple. Just say, but Rav Avoh didn't say it. Rav Avoh didn't say that, though. He said differently. But why? We could have said like this. The Mishnah stated two clauses to reflect the difference between the two types of financial cases. And therefore, loan cases require three judges who need not be ordained, whereas cases of theft and bodily injury require three ordained judges. Why then did Rav Avoh himself resolve the Gemara's question with the more forced explanation that both clauses actually refer to cases of theft and bodily injury? Do you understand? Yeah. The original answer that he gave, we don't need it anymore. Why did he say? Rav Avoh said, this is the explanation of the Mishnah. Monetary issues three, and what are monetary issues? Theft and bodily injury. But by the time we picked apart with all the questions, and this is that, what do you talk about? Monetary cases also need three. So what's going to be the difference then? Well, just ordained or not. So once you've got that rate, and you have three, so now why didn't Rav Avoh say simple? Monetary cases, i.e. loans, three not ordained judges. Theft and bodily injury, three ordained judges. And learn the Mishnah like that. Why did he say differently? Now, you know, we can't say, well, that's what he meant. No, that's not what he meant, because that's not what he said. So that's question number one in Rav Avoh. Now, the next question in Rav Avoh, the ode, Shlosha Ushlosha Lamali. Why do I need the Tana say three two times? As why did he say monetary cases are judged by three, and then case of theft and bodily injury are judged by three? He could have simply said it in one line. Monetary cases that involve theft and bodily injury are judged by three. Say it in one clause. Why did he have to start off by saying, why did he say monetary cases three, theft and bodily injury three? Say monetary cases that involve theft and bodily injury are three. No, the Mishnah said like this. Listen carefully. The monetary issues need three.
Right.
Theft and bodily injury need three. And you're saying, well, that's just an explaining the first clause. Well, why do you have to say so many words?
Yeah.
Just say, monetary issues, which are theft and bodily injury, require three. And therefore, I know I'm still excluding loans.
Yeah.
Why didn't you say it straight that way? If the second clause of the Mishnah is simply defining the first clause, as Rav Avoh asserts, the Mishnah should not have stated the word Bishlosha with three judges twice. which would seem to indicate the two statements are independent of one another. Rather, Mishnah should have stated straight off, monetary cases that are case of thefts and bodily injuries are judged by three. So guess what? All the work we did on Rav Avoh, out. At the end of the day, and after we asked so many questions and answered, and we bothered answering. Now, of course, you could say, why didn't we just hit him on this right away? That's a good question. You know, we asked all these other questions, right? And then we said, well, at the end of the day, it's still, you know, it just doesn't, just it's not, well, first of all, by the time we finished answering everything, it doesn't make sense. That's why. And then the other question of the second question would be a question anyway. Therefore, Rav Avoh is out. So what are we going to do now? Well, we got about a little, we're going to come up with another explanation. So forget about Rav Avoh. Rav Avoh has an answer, but Gemara does not like his answer because of all the questions they have. They reject Rav Avoh's answer. How do you know they reject it? Because the next word is always critical. Ella, Ella. Whenever you have a word Ella, but means forget about. The question so strong, forget about what we had before, and now Amarava, Rava will give us a new answer. So everything we struggle with for the last 2 days, Rav Avoh, we understand what you said, but we reject it. And that's not, sometimes you need to know what not to say also. It's why are we doing this? Because it's important to know what is also not an answer. It's just as important to know what the right answer is. You have to know why certain answers are wrong and cannot be used. So we've definitely done that. So now it comes on Rava and gives his answer. And he says, Tarti Ketoni, the Tana is indeed stating two independent cases which he separates. It's not one explaining the other like Rav Avoh said, but it's two cases. And why is he doing that? Why are we mentioning two cases? Mishum de Rav Chanina, for reasons similar to those of Rav Chanina, which we'll see in 1 second, who taught that certain biblical requirements were rabbinically suspended in loan cases so that people would not be reluctant to lend money, as proposed by the Gemara in its objection to Rav Avoh. The Mishnah indeed means, this is the pshat, that monetary cases such as loan disputes are judged by three, and case of thefts and bodily injuries are judged by three. The Mishnah lists them in separate clauses, however, because their laws are different. That our question, Rav Avoh, that really becomes what the pshat is. In other words, monetary cases, loan disputes, require three judges, but the judges need not be ordained. Cases of theft and bodily injury require three ordained judges. Although from a biblical standpoint, three ordained judges are required for both types of cases, right? The rabbis waive the ordination required to loan cases so as not to discourage people from lending money. So therefore, that's the pshat. In other words, we've come up with the same information. We've gone through this whole exercise to get the correct information. Now we're just going to plug in the explanation, not like Rav Avoh, but the way Rav explains it, based also falling back on the law of Rav Chanina. So the final pshat in this mishnah is as follows. Not like Rav Avoh, who says that the second clause is explaining the first clause. We're saying monetary issues, i.e. loans, need three judges, and the three judges need not be ordained. Next clause, separate clause, theft and bodily injuries require three judges, but those three judges have to be ordained judges. Really, really, that the loans could also have been, would have required three ordained judges, but only because rabbinically we're afraid people won't lend money. Therefore, that's why it's two separate clauses, to say that essentially they would have the same law, but they have a different law because we're afraid that people will not want to lend money out to people. And that's the pshat. So we're going to stop over here. Now that we have pshat in the Mishnah, it's a little bit more to go till we come to the two dots. Okay, shkoyach.